Good morning, Crestview family. Welcome to Crestview Baptist Church. Thank you for choosing to come worship with us this morning. We're glad to have you here. Just going to give you a few announcements just to get us going. First one is Whitey wants to meet with the Baptist men right after service today. The second one is VBS starts tonight. I'm excited. I'm tired. But hey, we're going to make it through. After Wednesday's over, I might be like a bear and go into hibernation, but we'll make it. I know we will. The Lord, he has given me the strength to get through the week when I didn't think I could go anymore, and he's given me the strength to get through yesterday, and I know he's going to give me the strength to get through this week. So I'm super excited about it. Wednesday night services, we will not have our regular Wednesday night service. That doesn't mean I don't want you to come. 6 o'clock Wednesday night, we are going to have our VBS commencement. All our VBS things are taking place out there except for commencement. Commencement's going to be in here, so we be sure we have enough room for everybody. And then we're going to have a meal. We're going to have time for everybody to look parents to get their crafts for their kids. The building's going to be open for them to go in and see the fun that they had this week and the environment that they were in this week. My VBS title's a little tricky. It says wrestling with sin, but here's the thing: they're going to find out on the first night is Jesus did the wrestling for us, and I'm thankful for that. Keep that in mind, and I missed you completely, Terry. I'm sorry. And my brain is not working today. So what we're going to do is I'm going to finish up here. I don't think I have any more. Joy has one. After Terry prays, Joy, come up here and give your announcement. And I apologize, church, and I apologize, Terry. So, all right. Worship with us this morning. Let's bring our hearts to the Lord. We're going to start that together right now.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's all go in prayer. Lord, thank you for letting everybody be here together today, Lord. Let's open up our hearts to you, Lord, that you can bless it and bless all the ones that are not here, Lord, and go and guide us. Keep us all safe in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning. First of all, I want to say thank you for everybody that prayed for me. And surgery went good Tuesday, and I'm waiting on seeing the doctor Monday week to get my results, but I feel sure it's fine. So thank you all for your prayers. I want to ask that anybody that serves on a committee or a ministry to please call me or Pat Hammett and tell us if you're willing to stay on that committee or if there's something you would rather do. If you're not on any committees or ministries, we would love for you to call us and tell us what you would like to serve on. We're a little bit late getting started because Pat and I have both had some medical issues, but if you'll help us out by letting us know, we can get done on time. Thank you.
I thought we might wrestle with each other as to who's going to get the pulpit next. Well, y'all, we want to pray together. I think you've got in your bulletins there, you've got some prayer needs and prayer requests. You want to pray through those today and this week. But as we start to pray for each other, let me read some scripture to you. This is Psalm 145, and it starts in verse 8. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of your glory, of the glory of your kingdom, and tell of your power, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we declare with the psalmist, we confess with the psalmist that you are gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. You are Lord of all the earth. Lord, we sing of your praise. We sing praises to you. We sing of your glory this morning. We sing of your righteousness this morning. We give you thanks for all your good works, all your kindness that you bestow on us. We thank you for your nearness, your closeness to us in the hard times, in the good times. Lord, we thank you that you uphold all of us who are falling. Lord, you raise up those who are bowed down. We look to you. All of our eyes this morning, collectively, we look to you. We thank you for how you provide for us individually. Thank you for how you provide for us as families. Thank you for how you provide for this church. Lord, we acknowledge your righteousness and your kindness this morning. We fear you. We are in awe of you. We have great respect for you and for your holiness. And God, as we bow our heads, as we bow our hearts to you, we pray that you would see the names that are on this list in our bulletin, those who are sick, those who are suffering, those who have doctor's appointments upcoming, those who have test results they're waiting to hear from. Lord, we pray that you would continue to heal. Lord, we pray that medicine, your good grace of medicine, would continue to take effect. We thank you for good doctors and good nurses that you've provided. God, we pray for the healing to take place that needs to take place. We pray for comfort for those who have lost loved ones. We pray that your Holy Spirit would be near to them. Father, as we gather, we know that our sister churches are gathering this morning, our brothers and sisters around the county. We think specifically this morning of our brother Aaron Hinton at Poplar Springs and Keith Dixon at Bowling Springs and Wade Wallace at Green Bethel. God, we pray for those three brothers as they preach your word this morning. We pray for those congregations as they meet together, would the gospel be heard and responded to. God, we pray that you would continue to move in a mighty way through our sister churches, through this church. Thank you for the opportunities we have to collaborate with each other for the sake of the gospel here in Cleveland County. We pray that you would continue to save those who don't know you. Father, we thank you for our time together. Would you bless us now, Lord? We pray all this, Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, and in the name of your Son, Jesus, amen.
I'm the mouthpiece this morning. Would you please stand and join us as we sing this next song, What a Mighty God We Serve.
What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him.
and giving of tithing offerings. Please bow with me as we pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to this time of service, we acknowledge, Lord, that you're the giver of all things, Lord. We thank you so much for the opportunity that you give us to bring back a portion of what we've earned this week and give it to you, Lord, that you would be able to further the kingdom. Everything that we think, do, and say will glorify your name. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you please stand as we sing, "Oh, How I Love Jesus," page number 217.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Because he first loved me. It tells the one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe. It is the sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
And I would like to start out, first of all, by thanking each and every one of you for making it possible for us to go. You guys support these kids and all the kids, and we couldn't do what we do without you guys. Our theme this week, I'm going to let these guys tell you all about it, but I am going to share a Bible verse with you. Our theme verse for the week was Isaiah 40, verse 8. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of God remains forever. It's what we talked about all week. And coincidentally enough, two of their three Bible stories that they had this week were things we're going to be talking about during Bible school. So they're going to be ready
They're going to be ready to lead, ready to share, ready to talk. I had an amazing week. I'm going to give these three ladies that went with me an opportunity to say something too. I had an amazing week. I learned things about myself this week. I'm not going to say any names, but we were walking along, and one of them just kind of looked me up and down and told me that I should try some skincare and some wrinkle cream. So I learned some stuff about myself this week. I learned I'm getting old, I guess. And after five days, I'm feeling it. But it's okay. The Lord has given me strength. The Lord has pushed me along. For the most part, I kept my patience most of the week, for the most part, right, Laura? I kept my patience. It was a great time, and I don't want to share a whole lot. I want to give these guys an opportunity to share their favorite part of the week and to share anything that they may have learned in Bible study. And then after that, I'm going to give the three adults an opportunity to talk for just a minute first, then I'm going to go through here. Then there's a slideshow that's about 2 minutes long. And then they're going to share one of their favorite camp songs with you. I'm going to start with Miss Vicky because she's over here and she can't stand up too long.
I had a very great week with all these kids, and I love them, every one. This was my 12th year as a counselor or a chaperone since I was younger. And this year at camp, I was the oldest person at camp. 69 years old, and I was the oldest person, and that is no lie. The only other adult was maybe in her 50s, their 50s. But we had a wonderful kid time, and I love all these kids.
I don't really have a lot to say other than the fact that I spent a lot of my summers when I was a child at South Mountain Camp, and that's actually where I got saved. So it was really full circle for me to get to go back and take my three kids and the rest of the group and watch God work in their lives.
Oh, it's my turn. I had fun. I didn't die like I thought I was going to because we were camping in the woods. And yeah, if anybody knows me, knows that I don't camp. So that was fun. Chad done most of the work. I feel like I really was just the herder when it came to getting up and making sure everybody ate and took baths and got all their stuff together and dealt with whining. So that's really what I felt like my job was. So I was really just the support system. Yay. But I feel like everybody had fun and enjoyed it. I think South Mountain was a great experience for our group, for it to be a lot of our campers' first time going. It was really nice and small and really local. So I think that it was a great experience for all of us. And I definitely think that we'll go back. All right, Noah, what was your favorite part about camp? The water battle, okay. All right, Leona, what was your favorite part about camp?
The water slide.
All right, Naira, what was your favorite part about camp?
The creek.
All right. Mason, what was your favorite part about camp?
The water slide.
Excuse me. All right, Colson, what was your favorite part about camp?
The water slide.
All right, Miss Emily, what was your favorite part about camp?
The fire.
Oh, yeah, we did have that campfire at the end. That was right. That was pretty cool. All right, Miss Izzy, what was your favorite part about camp?
Everything.
So it was Jay. No, I'm sorry. No. All right, Ty, what was your favorite part about camp?
Chapel
was fun. We had a juggler for our chapel, so that was pretty cool. He got to juggle fire and everything.
Do any of you guys want to share anything else? Does anybody want to share anything else? No? Anybody? Nothing? All right, we are going to show you a slideshow. And I promise they did more than the water slides while we were there. I'm going to tell you, I see these guys, first night we're there, a few of them were up and worshiping. And by the end of the week, everybody was singing, everybody was getting involved. And they just had a blast. I've seen seeds cultivated, and these guys are going to do great things for the Lord. I know it. I see it in their lives, and I see it in the way they just love to worship and love to be the Lord. So we are going to prepare for our song.
There's going to be a slideshow up there while you guys are preparing for our, while we were preparing for our song.
We have come into this house to praise Him. Lift up holy hands, praise the great I Am. We have come into this house to praise Him, for Jesus is worthy to be praised. And we have come into this house to praise Him. Lift up holy hands, praise the great I Am. We have come into this house to praise Him, for Jesus is worthy to be praised. Everybody, let's praise the Lord. Praise His holy name. Praise Him for the good news and the joy that He brings. Everybody, let's praise the Lord. While the angels roll, glory, hallelujah. Everybody, let's praise the Lord. Praise Him, land and sea. Praise Him, hills and valleys. Praise His majesty. Praise Him with the trumpet. Praise Him with the strings. Praise Him, earth and heaven. Praise Him, everything. Come on and praise Him. Let the world rejoice. Praise Him with a mighty voice. Praise Him. Praise Him for the good news and joy that He brings. Everybody, let's praise the Lord. While the ages roll, glory, hallelujah. Everybody, let's praise the Lord. We have come into this house to praise Him. Everybody, praise the Lord.
Thank you, choir, and can we thank Chad and the ladies that helped him this week at camp? Ain't no way I want that job. Sharon Webb and I get to serve on some committees at Gardner Webb, and I don't even think I would trade the committee work for Baptist camp work in the summertime. Give me the committees, I guess. But thank you, choir, and thank you, church, for letting us come back and be with you this morning. My foot fell asleep while I sat there. So now if you see me squirming, it's because my foot's asleep. So bless us. We're going to be in 1 Peter again. If you remember the last time I was with you, we were in 1 Peter chapter 1, and we talked about verses 3 through 12, and this morning we're going to be picking it up in verse 13. So I don't know if you've still got those notes handy from a couple of months ago, but if you do, you can add these to them. But thank you so much for letting us join you again this morning. I'm thankful for the opportunity to come back and see all of you again and worship with you again. Grateful for this time together. Grateful for your activity in this community. The breakfast that you do is, there's a couple of us at the university that talk about coming over here on Saturday to eat breakfast. So thank you for doing that. Thank you for your continued prayers for Gardner Webb. Like I said, Sharon and I serve on just about every committee that seems to be at Gardner Webb. If not exactly, but we do serve on a lot. So pray for us as we have some searches for a president and for an athletic director and for just a lot of different positions. If you'll just continue to pray for that and pray for the students who are going to be with us in about 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whenever they show up. Pray that we would again see the Lord at work And as I think I shared with you the last time I was here, we saw 59 students baptized last academic year. So if you'll continue to pray at 10:02 every day, that the Lord would raise up laborers for the harvest and that students would continue to respond to the gospel at the university and that God would continue to be good to us over there. I'd appreciate that and know that you're being prayed for as well. We are going to be in 1 Peter 13, 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to pick it up in verse 13 here in just a minute. And I want to talk to you this morning about the active Christian life. The active Christian life. As many of you know, when we go to the doctor now, we've gotten to that point in life where he says, you got to be active, man. You got to get out in the sunshine and you need to make some laps and you need to go do some running and some jogging or do something to get your life active and don't just sit around all the time and watch TV. Luke and I have, and Brantley too, we've taken that seriously. Luke, now you'll see us at the YMCA if you come to the YMCA each morning about 6 o'clock in the morning. Us and a few of our closest friends are there lifting weights and pushing things around, moving heavy objects, trying to get in shape and be healthy. Luke is more serious about it than I am. I'm just there for the fellowship and, just to be with him and Brantley. But we're trying to be healthy and be active. In the book of 1 Peter, Peter commends an active Christian life. So the doctor's going to tell you you need to be active physically. Peter's going to tell you you need to be active as a believer in Jesus. And if you read through 1 Peter chapter 1, you're going to find Peter is helping us work through a host of issues, some doctrinal truth, some practical truth, some of which we talked about the last time I was with you. He writes in this letter, if you sit today and read all of 1 Peter, it won't take you long, but if you sit with it, sit with your family, and read through these couple of chapters, you're going to find that he helps us understand more about the Trinity. He's going to help us understand more about salvation. He's going to help us understand some more about end times. Jesus is going to return. I'll mention that to you again here later. He's going to help us understand trial and suffering. He's going to help us understand the testing of our faith. He's going to help us understand more about Scripture. All in 1 Peter. 1 Peter is an awesome book. So if you want to know more about all of those things, you can read the whole Bible. But especially 1 Peter will help you if you think about, if you got questions about the Trinity, you got questions about salvation, you got questions about end times, you got questions about trials and suffering, about temptation, about tested faith. 1 Peter, I would direct you there first and then to the rest of the Scriptures. 1 Peter, he is helping us see that the Bible is about Jesus. The Old Testament is preparing you for him. The New Testament is presenting him to you. All the goodness that we find here, we are grateful for. 1 Peter's helping us answer, what do we believe as Christians? Maybe you've had that question. What should I believe as a Christian? 1 Peter can help you answer that question. Maybe you've had the question, how do I live as a Jesus follower? 1 Peter can help you answer that question. How do I live for Jesus? What do I believe as a Jesus follower? Peter can help you answer that. Maybe you've asked, how do I even relate to God? 1 Peter can help you answer that question as well. This morning we're going to start in verse 13 and we're going to read through verse 21. When you found it, let's stand to honor the reading of the word. You got it on the screens and I think you got it in your bulletin too. We're going to start in verse 13. And you know now, these are the best words you're going to hear all day. These are the best words you're going to read all day. This is God's word. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Let's pray. God in heaven, we bow again before you, and we thank you for your word. Your word that is written in this Bible, that instructs us, that corrects us. We thank you for the inspiration that it has, the authority that it has. Thank you for the guidance that it gives us in how to live for you, how to relate to you. God, we thank you for the guidance it gives us in how we relate to other people. We thank you that when we open this book, we can hear your voice. And we can hear of your love for us. We can get good guidance from you in this text. And we thank you. God, we thank you for your word that is incarnate in the man Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, that you've taken our place on the cross. We thank you that you've lived the life we can't live. You died the death that we deserved. And on the third day, you were raised up. We thank you that you are seated and you reign sovereignly right now. And you are alive and well right now in heaven. We pray that you'd be honored during our time together this morning. Would you help us as we read your word, as we study your word, as we try to live your word. Father, we pray all this again by the power of your Holy Spirit and in the name of your Son, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. All right, 1 Peter chapter 1 starts in verse 13. You remember the last time I was here, we talked about the Christian life. The last time I was here, we talked about our living hope, our lasting inheritance, our living Savior. Peter has now worked us through all that, and now he's ready to start teaching, and he's going to teach us that the Christian life is active. It is not passive. The Christian life is intentional. The Christian life is engaging. The Christian life is transformational. We know that God is actively at work in the world. And we know that you and I can actively join him in his work of making all things new. In this text this morning, we find four actions that are involved in the active Christian life. Four actions. Let's pick it up in verse 13. And you all know, I've told you this before, I love it when I see your eyes in the book more than your eyes on me. So when I see the tops of your heads and you're looking and underlining and making notes, hallelujah. You're going to hear more, you're going to get better stuff out of this text than from me anyway. But here's what it is. Therefore, now I know your preacher, I know your pastor, he has told you, when you see the word therefore in Scripture, you're supposed to stop and you're supposed to ask a question. You remember what the question is? What's the therefore, therefore? And so the therefore is therefore all those reasons we just had in verses 1 through 12, where Peter has reminded us we have a living hope. A living Jesus. We have a lasting inheritance in salvation, and we have a later salvation we're going to know when we get to that place with Jesus. And so, in light of all of that, we should be, look at verse 13, preparing our minds for action, girding up the loins of our minds, getting ready, being alert, and being sober minded. He's going to talk about that again in chapter 5, verse 8. Being rational, being stable, not being too emotional, not letting your feelings dominate your life, but being self-controlled and steadfast and steady. Somebody that's drunk is none of those things, right? They're not rational, they're not stable, they're not logical, they're not steadfast. We've all seen Otis on the Andy Griffith Show come staggering in. He is none of those things, right? Until he sobers up. And is sober-minded, now he's stable, now he's rational, now Andy and Barney can talk to him about the things he needs to hear. Peter says, therefore, preparing your minds for action, being sober-minded, being alert, being ready. Look at what he says. Set your hope fully on the grace that will be revealed to you, that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That brings me to number one. As an active Christian, number one, anchor your hope fully on God's grace. Anchor your hope fully on God's grace. This idea of anchoring to God is not unfamiliar in the New Testament. If you read some other places, the author of Hebrews is going to remind us to anchor our souls on God's promises. He tells us we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. We anchor our hope to God's promises. We anchor our hope on God's grace. We've seen other biblical characters do this, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They tell the king, we will not bow, and we're going to trust God to save us. They set their hope on God. Daniel, in that lion's den, set his hope on God and set his hope on God's promises and on God's grace. You might think of a mountain climber ascending some treacherous peak. If you drive by Crowder's Mountain, you see people climbing around on Crowder's Mountain, rappelling and doing all the things. They don't tie that safety rope. They don't anchor that rope to a tree or a branch or a loose rock. They anchor that safety rope to a massive, immovable steel anchor that's driven deep into that rock and into that granite. The climber then doesn't worry about that anchor's reliability. They trust it completely with their life. Similarly, we don't place partial hope in God's grace while keeping backup plans in our own works or our own circumstances. Instead, we cast our full weight on God. We cast our full weight on God's promises. We cast our full weight on God's grace, knowing that that will never fail us. Notice what Peter doesn't say, what many of us want to do. But notice what Peter said. Look at that. Set your hope fully. Notice what he doesn't say there. Set your hope fully on your spouse. Notice what he doesn't say there. Set your hope fully on your church. Notice what he doesn't say there. Set your hope fully on your kids and on your grandkids. Notice what he doesn't say there. Set your hope fully on your bank account. Notice what he doesn't say there. Set your hope fully on your job. And that's everything that all of us want to put our hope in every day. We want to anchor ourselves to our spouse or to our kids or to our job or to our bank. Brothers and sisters, you know when those things start to shake, if you hitch your wagon to one of those things, when they start to shake, what happens to you? You start to shake. If you hitch your wagon to Jesus, if you anchor yourself to Jesus, Jesus don't shake. The world could be falling apart. Thailand and Cambodia and doing whatever they're doing over there. Iran and Iraq could be doing whatever they're doing over there with Israel. If you hitch your wagon to that or to the government officials, that stuff shakes. And when that shakes, you shake. But if you anchor yourself fully on God, if you anchor yourself fully on God's promises, if you anchor yourself fully to God's grace, He don't shake and you won't shake either. We anchor our hope fully on God's grace until when? Look at what Peter tells you. Until the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's His return. Anchor your hope fully on God's grace and on God's promises and on God Himself until Jesus comes back or you go to meet Him. Brothers and sisters, He's coming back. That's what we look forward to no matter what our past looks like, no matter what the circumstances look like, no matter what difficult trials or suffering we face right now, in the future, we get Jesus. And in the future, we get grace. You saw that word there. Circle that word. Star that word. Highlight that word. What's the opposite of grace? Condemnation. Instead of that, in the future, we get grace. We get Jesus. And not condemnation. And not separation from God. Brothers and sisters, I've told you before, I think the last time I was here. If you are a believer, if you have repented of your sin and placed your trust in Jesus, in His death and resurrection, then this world is as bad as it's ever going to get. If you are in this room and you have not repented and trusted in Jesus, this world is as good as it's ever going to get. Church, anchor your hope fully on God's grace until the day Jesus returns or until the day you go meet him face to face. Not only that, number two, anchor your hope fully on God's grace. Look at verse 14. Here's where we learn to abandon your former ways. The active Christian life involves anchoring ourselves to God and to his promises, to his hope, to his grace. Number two, abandoning our former ways. Look at verse 14. As obedient children, don't be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. This is not new to the New Testament. The Apostle Paul teaches us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The new has come. The old is gone. The new is here. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 to 22, Paul says, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Put off the old self. He tells us in Colossians 3, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. You have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self. In Romans 6, Paul says, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. And finally, Paul tells us in Galatians 2, verse 20, many of you have it memorized, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. You might picture a butterfly. They've been flitting around about our backyard. It's emerged from its chrysalis. It doesn't then try to crawl back into that old shell. It doesn't try to live like a caterpillar again. That former way of life is completely incompatible with that butterfly's new nature. That butterfly now lives according to its transformed identity, with wings that are meant to flitter around on the flowers in the backyard, not with legs that are meant to crawl. Brothers and sisters, once you've repented of sin and trusted Jesus, don't try to squeeze back into those old patterns of life, because you have been fundamentally changed by the gospel. You might think about the children of Israel. We sang about them, Pharaoh, Pharaoh, oh, oh, let my people go. Right? You get out there in the wilderness, what do they want to do? They want to go back to their old ways. And Moses says, no, we're not going back. The Apostle Paul, he's been fundamentally changed. He didn't try to go back to who he was. Peter instructs us here to abandon our former ways. And you saw what he said. Look at it in verse 14. As obedient, what? Children. Circle it, star it, highlight it. God is our Father. And we are his children. We shouldn't try to go back to our old habits, our old lifestyles, our old sins, what Peter calls our former ignorance. After we've been saved, after we have trusted Jesus, as God's children, we should begin to look more and more like our Father as we make progress in holiness and as we make progress in righteousness. You should become more and more. That's that process of sanctification where you become more and more like our Father. Church, anchor your hope fully on God's grace. Number two, abandon the former ways. Number three, aggressively pursue personal holiness. Aggressively pursue personal holiness. Look at verse 15. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. The idea behind your vacation Bible school this week, which I love, wrestling with sin. We're going to lay the smack down on sin, right? We're going to rock bottom sin. We're going to, whatever it is, RKO sin. All the things, all these wrestling terminologies. We're going to do it to sin. Idea, same thing Peter's trying to tell you here. You better get aggressive with sin and aggressive with holiness. The psalmist tells us, O you who love the Lord, hate evil. The Apostle Paul tells us, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, since we have these promises, dear friends, Let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, put off your old self, put on the new self to be created, to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. 1 Timothy 4, 8, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The Apostle John, he tells us in 1 John 3, all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. You might consider a surgeon preparing for a critical operation. You've been in that operating room. You've seen that operating room. It's cold in there. Why is it cold in that operating room? Because they don't want germs to spread, right? We want to keep that place cold. They put all these blankets on you. We don't want the spread of germs. You got to be cold towards sin in your life so that it won't spread like germs. You might think of that surgeon as he prepares in that cold place. He washes his hands, not casually, right? Like some little kids do. Get casual with it. That surgeon and those nurses, they get aggressive and they get meticulous. They put on sterile gloves and they maintain absolute cleanliness because they're out about to enter a sacred place where life and death hang in the balance. As Christians, we're called into the presence of a holy God, not casually, not carelessly, but with the same intentional pursuit of holiness and righteousness that recognizes the sacredness of the God we serve. Peter calls us to get aggressive with your personal holiness. Get aggressive with wrestling with sin. Imitate God's holiness and God's mercy and God's grace and God's love. Put the needs of others first. Devote yourself fully to God. Love Him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Seek to honor and please the Lord God in every area of your life. How do we do all that? It's only with a transformed heart. Only by being born again. Only by being redeemed by Jesus. That's what Peter's working towards in verse 18. Church, anchor your hope fully on God's grace. Abandon your former ways. Aggressively pursue personal holiness. Get aggressive in wrestling with sin this week. Number four, and finally, respect God's holiness. Respect God's holiness. Look at verse 17. And if we saw it in verse 16, be holy as I'm holy. Verse 17. Look at verse 17. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourself with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. This idea of respecting God's holiness is throughout Scripture. You might think of Isaiah 6 when he's in the throne room and the seraphim are flying around in that room and they say and they cry, holy, holy, holy. And Isaiah's response is what? Woe to me, I am ruined. I'm a man of unclean lips. You might think about Hebrews 12, verse 28 and 29. Let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably. With reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Psalm 111, verse 9, holy and awesome is his name. This idea of having reverence and awe for God, you might think about if you've been to some sacred space, some sacred chapel here in the southeast or somewhere overseas, you can remember walking through that magnificent cathedral. And while you're walking through that cathedral, we don't cower in terror. But we naturally speak in more hushed tones. We walk carefully. We handle everything with reverence because we understand we're in the presence of something far greater than ourselves. That's the fear that Peter is talking about in verse 18. It's not a paralyzing fright, but it's a profound reverence and awe that shapes who we are when we remember who God is. Peter tells us, see it in the text, he says, live this way throughout the time of your exile. Remember that we are temporary as believers in Jesus. We are temporary residents here. Our citizenship is in another place, in another country. But while we reside here, we are inviting others to come and join us there. We're going to do that. Y'all are going to do that during Vacation Bible School this week with all these kids. We're telling them, come and join us there. We've got your ticket. It's been paid for you. Jesus paid the way for you to be there with him. Come with us. We don't just tell that during Bible school. We tell that to the county, to the region. Look at verse 18 to 21. Peter says, you were ransomed. Not by your own money, not by your own efforts, not by your family, not by your parents, not by your church attendance, but with what? Look at it. But verse 19, circle it, star it, highlight it, with the precious blood of Christ. With reference to his precious blood, my favorite Baptist, Charles Spurgeon, he said it, that precious blood, it has redeeming power. It has atoning power. It has cleansing power. It has preserving power. It has sanctifying power. It has overcoming power. We sing the song, there is power in the blood. Spurgeon says, this precious blood of Jesus, sin dies at its presence. Death ceases to be death at its presence. And heaven's gates are opened by the precious blood of Jesus. Jesus, he was foreknown, Peter says, before the foundation of the world. Church, God's plan to redeem humanity was not made in a panic. It was not a reactionary plan. God's plan all along was to redeem humanity. And through Jesus, we are believers in God, and our faith and our hope are in God. You see that there in verse 21. Brothers and sisters, anchor your hope fully on God's grace. Abandon your former ways. Aggressively pursue holiness. Aggressively wrestle sin to death. And respect God's holiness. Brothers and sisters, 1 Peter, you read it later today. Maybe you read it this week. Chapter a day for the next week. He's helping us answer, as Christians, what do we believe? He's helping us as Christians answer, how do I relate to God? And how do I relate to everybody in these pews next to me? If you've been asking those questions, I'll point you to 1 Peter. We've learned this morning that we can anchor our hope fully on God and on his grace. We can set our hope in him. We can abandon our former ways. We can aggressively pursue holiness and respect God's holiness. We know the family doctor tells you need to be active, live an active life. And in this book, Peter is commending an active Christian life. The Christian life is not passive, it's active, it's engaged, it's transformed. It flows from an understanding of who God is and who we are in Christ. Now we know we can't do any of these things in our own power. We must be born again. Is that new birth? Is that something you've experienced? Maybe you've been asking this question, how does God fit into my life story? I've sat with college students who have asked that question a lot over the last years. How does God sit in my office? I want to know how God fits into my life story. And I said, that's a good question. I'm glad you're thinking along those lines, but let's flip that question around a little bit. The question is not, how does God fit into your life story? The question is, how does your life fit into God's story? The Bible teaches us that God is actively at work making all things new. Now you might think, well, what does that got to do with me? The Bible says there's two truths you need to understand. Number one, we've talked a lot about it this morning. God is holy and perfect and righteous and just and gracious and merciful and steadfast love. And he's awesome. That's number one. Number two, you're not any of those things. We're sinners, separated from him because of our own rebellion, because of our own sin. and we are in a mess. And that's bad news. But here's the good news. God has not left us in this mess alone. He has sent a Messiah to save us from this mess. He has sent His only Son, Jesus, who's lived the life that we can't live. He did all of that, anchored His hope on God, abandoned former ways, didn't even have former ways to abandon like we do, aggressively pursued holiness. He respected God's holiness. He did all that way better than any of us can do. He lived the life we can't live, and He died the death that we were supposed to die. But on the third day, God raised Him up. And now, all of us in this room, we are called to repent and put our faith and our trust and our hope in Jesus and in His death and in His resurrection in our place. And here's the great news. Once you've done that, you begin to find your place in God's story of making all things new. Once you've done that, the active Christian life truly begins. Once you've done that, the adventure with God begins. You begin to see how you fit into this big story that God is writing and that God is working out. This big movie that is playing out where we are not the main character, He is. We are just little secondary side characters that participate with Him. Have you trusted Jesus today? If not, I'd love to talk to you about that decision. If you're in this room and you think, I'd like to know more about what it means to be a Christian, I'd like to know more about what it means to follow Jesus, I'll be here at the front as we sing this last song. It's going to be hymn number 294. If you want to talk about that, you want to pray about that, or if there's other things you want to pray about, this altar will be open to you. As we close, let me pray with you. God in heaven, we're thankful for Your word. We're thankful again for the opportunity to read it together, the opportunity to sing together in this place, the opportunity to pray together in this place, the opportunity to collectively turn our eyes on Jesus, our risen and reigning Savior. God, as we come to this time of close of this service, Lord, we pray that by the power of Your Holy Spirit, You would show us where we have not anchored our hope to You. Would You graciously reveal to us where our hope is set in everything else except for You? God, would You show us where we have walked back into former ways of living, back into former ignorance? Would You show us where we are not walking with You in holiness and in righteousness? Would You convict us of sin? Lord, would You show us where there's hidden sin in our heart that needs to be confessed to You? God, Your word is plain. Nothing is hidden from Your sight. You see all things. The little sins that we may think are hidden from You, You know it. They may be hidden from everybody else in this room, but not from You, the Lord God. Would You give us the courage to confess that sin to You this morning? God, would you develop in us a respect for Your holiness and Your righteousness? If there's any in this room who's never trusted Jesus, would You give them courage to repent and put their faith in Him this morning? Father, we pray for Your help in all these things, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing together hymn number 294.
Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after Thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still, have Thine own way. Have Thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in Thy presence humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me.
Thank you.